grateful to our staff team. And if you happen to show up at 8:30 and you are one of those few families that I said good morning to, thanks for your patience. And we'll hope you'll come back next weekend. I want to invite you, as the Hendrickson family welcome you, to turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2. If you're looking for where that is, young people, turn in your Bibles. You might get to Jonah. It's a little bit of a bigger Bible. You're going to flip over near the back half of the Old Testament, and you'll see Micah and then Habakkuk. And this morning, I want to pick up unintentionally a little bit where we left off last weekend. We finished our series, What is the Gospel?, looking at the promise of the gospel of our glorification, that the gospel is that we have been glorified. We learned that Christians, we live in this season of already but not yet, already belonging to Christ, already having been justified in Christ, already having been adopted into God's family, already living out in God's purposes. We get to enjoy that and do that today, but we also have this not yet, that glorification. We have been glorified, and yet we know that there is this glorification that is waiting for us. It hasn't been fully experienced in our lives. Well, this week it feels like we are very much living in the already but not yet, and probably have an emphasis on the not yet, because we're waiting. We're getting close to that new sanctuary being open. We can see the progress that is being made. We can touch it. We've walked in the space. But this week we realize that there are clearly obstacles to creating the proper environment for us to be able to worship safely together. And so let's be honest, challenges so often come our way. In the grand scheme of life, I know and you know, we know together that a delayed opening in a building isn't a tragedy. But what it is a reminder to us. It's a reminder that our plans don't always unfold on our timetable. And as I shared with our staff and elders as we were praying before our service this morning, this message that I rewrote Friday for this moment, I believe God had a purpose in that, because I have been preaching it to myself over and over again. Because I'll just confess to you, I am not someone who likes to be brought face to face with the reality that I am not in control. Some of you understand that. And when we realize that our timetable is not necessarily the Lord's timetable, it's a reminder to us as we wait, and we sometimes, as we wait, we ask this question, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, why is it that according to your perfect sovereign hand timetable of God, all of the City Church family couldn't come to worship this morning? Why would that be the reality for us? Much deeper than that, I know many of you, and again, many of you at home ask much more profound questions. How long will I battle this illness? How long until that prodigal child comes home? Why can't I land that job? Will this anxiety ever lift? How am I going to make ends meet this month? You've asked these questions. You've asked, Lord, when will you answer that prayer? And underneath those questions, as we ask the Lord, we're really asking, God, where are you? God, do you really care? When will you act? Can I trust you? These are the questions behind those questions. And thankfully, we aren't the first people who've ever asked those questions. This is why we're going to open our Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. And I'd invite you, as I read a very short passage, verses 1 through 4, stand, even in your living rooms, stand out of reverence for God's word as I read our text. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated again. The first thing that we see in this text is that God welcomes honest questions. Sometimes I fear that as Christians and followers of Jesus, we have perhaps maybe through upbringing or other influences begun to think there's certain questions that are off limits to God. That's a question, I can't ask that. That would be sort of sacrilegious. It would feel unrespectful to ask God these questions. But God welcomes our honest questions. And before we understand God's answer here in Habakkuk, that also helps us to understand the answer that he gives us, we need to understand what was Habakkuk's question. See, Habakkuk was living in a moment in time, he's living in Judah, during one of the darkest periods in the nation's history. There had been a godly king, King Josiah, and he'd made great reforms, but after his passing, the nation descended into total corruption. They were being led by King Jehoiakim, and violence filled the streets. The nation was being corrupted over and over and over again. The powerful were oppressing the weak. God's law was being completely ignored. And it seemed to Habakkuk and to all those who were striving to follow God that evil was winning the day. And so Habakkuk cries out, "How long, O Lord?" What troubles Habakkuk even more is God's answer to that question. Because God answered that question. He didn't say, "I'm going to resolve all of Judah's problems and everything's going to be great immediately." He says, "I'm going to judge Judah, not by restoring righteousness, but by raising up the Babylonian Empire. Justice was going to be served through this evil that was going to be an instrument of discipline." And so now this nation that was even more wicked than Judah was going to be used by God to come and bring judgment. And this is where Habakkuk struggles. "Lord, I know Judah is sinful. I know we've got problems here, but Babylon? How can you use those people who are even more wicked?" See, his crisis wasn't merely that evil existed. It was that God's timing for him didn't make sense. God's methods of resolving evil didn't make sense to him either. And this is why in chapter 2, in the first verse that we read, he says, "I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower, look out to see what he will say." What will God say to my complaint? Habakkuk is waiting. He's listening. He's expecting God to answer. Habakkuk isn't pretending. He isn't putting on some sort of false righteousness or holiness. He's confused by God. He's disappointed in the circumstances. He's watching events unfold that don't make a lot of sense. And so he's asking an honest question to God. "God, what are you doing?" And Habakkuk isn't the only one in Scripture that we can see ask these types of honest questions. David, Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Asaph, Psalm 73, "I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I don't know what you're doing here, God." Or Jeremiah, "Why does the wicked prosper?" Jeremiah chapter 12. And over again, we see faithful followers of God, men used by God in great and powerful ways, prophets of God, come to God and ask honest questions. And the beautiful thing is that we see here in Habakkuk, God doesn't rebuke Habakkuk for asking. He doesn't say, "How dare you ask me a question?" What he does is correct his perspective. He strengthens Habakkuk's faith. He welcomes the conversation, and he reminds him of who he is. The author of Hebrews reminds us of the great opportunity we have as followers of God, that we get to draw near. How? With confidence. We come to God with confidence. And so as we wait, yes, this temporal, physical waiting that we're doing as a church family together, or as we wait on those much more significant things that you are wrestling with today, I want you to know that waiting isn't unbelief. Waiting is often what God uses to refine and strengthen your faith. So as we have these unanswered questions, will the building be delayed again? Will we be able to meet next week? Will this cancer treatment actually work? Will our children respond to the gospel? Will God provide in this uncertainty? God is not offended, friend, by your honest lament. In fact, lament is often the very best thing that we can do. Grieve that things are not as we wish they were. Be honest before the Lord. Take your questions to Him and let the Lord move you from lament to trust, from lament to confidence, from lament to hope. But take your question to the Lord. God welcomes our honest questions. God responds to Habakkuk in verse 2. And he shows him that his promises are never late. He says to Habakkuk, write the vision. Write this down. Reminds me of John being told in Revelation, write this down, in a way of saying, this is what you need to know right now, and you need to know that my words are true. Write this down. If the vision seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. If the vision seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. This is one of the greatest promises in Scripture. See, from our perspective, God seems slow. From our perspective, it seems as if there's constantly delays. But from God's perspective, if it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. And notice he says, it will not delay. And I say, but God, it seems already delayed. It doesn't really make sense. But no, from God's perspective, he's exactly on time. God never rushes. God never panics. One of my dear friends, Elliot Grudem, periodically will say to me, Ryan, I think you might be more anxious about the kingdom than Jesus is. It takes you a few minutes. Maybe by lunch you'll get that. I'm all worried. What's God going to do? How is this going to be resolved? And God, from his perspective, isn't panicked, isn't rushing. God's never looked at the calendar and said, we're way behind. It's never happened. Peter says the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness. But what is he? He is patient. Solomon reminds us, he's made everything beautiful in its time, according to the author of time. Isaiah declares the Lord is God of justice. Blessed are those who, what? Wait for him. This is what we need to hear today when we have these questions of uncertainty, when we have these questions about delays. How do we wait well? We remember that from God's perspective, we're not delayed. Things aren't behind. We might feel as if things are delayed, but God says, I'm not. We have a calendar in our minds. One of the beautiful gifts that God has given to me through my wife, if she has the calendar memorized, I can literally ask her what's happening 3 Thursdays from now, and she'll tell you right off the bat. I encourage you to quiz her this morning if you're in the room. You can just come up and just start. What is August 2nd of 2028? She'll tell you it's a Tuesday. I have no idea if that's right, but she knows. Many of us have this calendar. You might have, maybe it's not in your mind, but you have the calendar now. We carry it around in our pockets through our phones. We have these calendars, and we think about our calendars all the time. What we need to remember is that God has another calendar. And the question isn't whether God knows the schedule. The question is whether we can trust him when his schedule isn't ours, which is hard. I'm reminded of another wise counselor who once said these words to me that I've held on to for many, many years of my life. God is rarely early, but he's never late, and he's always on time. Wise words. God's promises for you, God's promises for us are never late. He has a perfect plan, and that plan is always good, even when we can't quite understand. And yes, when we honestly bring before him questions that we don't know the answers to. And what God does so often is, through our waiting, is he reveals what we really trust in. This is where we come to verse 4, one of the verses, because it's used all throughout the New Testament, that we know quite well from Habakkuk. You may have never turned in your Bibles before to Habakkuk, but you know this verse. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, speaking of the evildoer. But the righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous shall live by his faith. Waiting reveals what we truly trust. Again, this verse becomes foundational for much of the New Testament, quoted by Paul multiple times, the author of Hebrews. What we come to realize is that the proud person, the person, as I confess, who likes to be in control, why do we like to be in control? It's rooted in, I trust in what I can do more than I trust what God can do. And we need to be honest about that. Waiting reveals where our true faith lies. See, the proud person, the person that loves to be in control, loves to live by sight. This is what I see. This is what I know I can do about it. And this is how I'm going to change things. What we can see, what we can do, what our strength can bear. But God's word is clear. The righteous, the holy man of God, the one who's living under the gospel that taught us, if you've been with us for a few weeks, that we have been made righteous by Christ. The righteous man lives by his faith. And as we wait on those things that are out of our control, we learn what we're trusting in. Trusting in our abilities. Trusting in the predictability of being able to do this, which yields this. Trusting in our plans. See, God often accomplishes so much more as we wait on him, as we have to trust him, than what we can manufacture under our own strength. Our men's Bible study, Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m., those of you that are online, love to see you there. Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., we've been studying the book of Genesis, and over the last few weeks, we've spent a lot of time in Genesis 43, 44, 45, 46. We see the life of Joseph and the story, really the interaction of Joseph as he is now in Egypt interacting with his brothers who are coming to Egypt because there's a famine all over the land and Egypt has stored up. And I am just marveled that passage of scripture fits so perfectly with this thought about waiting and wondering, God, what are you doing? Genesis 45 tells us that Joseph was looking backward and he could see as he addresses his brothers who fear for their lives because they don't know yet that Joseph is their brother and they think this ruler of Pharaoh could put us all to death. And what Joseph says in Genesis 45 is, everything that happened to me was according to God's perfect plan. I was sold into slavery so that I could come to Egypt. I was falsely accused so I could be thrown in prison, so that I could interpret a dream, so that the cupbearer to Pharaoh could tell Pharaoh that I was able to interpret dreams, so that when Pharaoh has a dream about a famine, I could be the one that was raised back up out of the prison and put in charge of all of Egypt, so that God could provide for his people through my rule over this country and rule over all the things. You see the hand of providence unfold in just a few verses of Genesis as we look. All that God was doing for years upon years upon years. Again, remember, he's not bound by time like we are, orchestrating perfectly his providence. It was not me or you who sent me here, Joseph tells his brothers. God sent me here into slavery in Egypt. You meant it, Genesis 50, for evil. God meant it for good. James, flipping back over to our New Testament, writes, count it all joy, for you know what? The testing of your faith produces steadfastness, produces strength. See, waiting reveals what we truly trust in, our own abilities, our own strength, our own wisdom, or do we trust in the sovereign hand of God? Waiting reveals our faith, and it also matures our faith, strengthens our faith. Finally, Jesus, friends, the good news for us on this side of the resurrection is that Jesus is the proof of what God speaks to Habakkuk. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. See, the greatest evidence that waiting is worthwhile, it's not Joseph. It's not even God's words here to Habakkuk. It's Jesus himself. The entire Old Testament that Habakkuk is a part of is a long story of waiting. God's people waiting for the promised Messiah to arrive. Abraham waited, Israel waited, David waited, the prophets waited. God wondering, when will the Messiah come? Paul writes in Galatians 4, that passage that we read so often around Christmas time in the Advent season, but when the fullness of time had come, when God said so, according to his perfect timing, because his calendar is the one that is right, God sent forth his son. Not a day early and not a day late. Exactly when the Father had intended, when the fullness of time had come, when I decided. And then even Jesus entered this period of waiting. You ever thought about, we don't know much of the first 30 years of Jesus' life. Even Jesus, the God-man, waiting, preparing before he begins his public ministry. That Holy Saturday, Jesus waiting to take up his life again and to display God's victory over sin and death. Peter preached, Acts chapter 2, that Jesus was delivered up. Why? According to the definite plan and foreknowledge, have we heard that word a little bit over the last month? According to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. See, when the disciples, and even more so, when the enemies of God, when they saw the cross, they said, God lost. They said, evil won. The cross looked like God's plan had failed. But we know that that was exactly what God had intended to do. His plan succeeding. It didn't make sense. Can you imagine Mary at the cross? Wait, he's supposed to be the Messiah. I thought he was going to deliver the kingdom. All the questions that rolled around, those honest questions that she probably took to God late Friday night and into Saturday, wondering, God, what are you doing? Romans 8, we've spent a lot of time there in the last months. Verse 32 tells us, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The cross was God's plan succeeding. God moving. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Friends, one of the dangers of waiting is that we can become so focused on the present, what that thing that we're waiting on. I can get so consumed, because in some ways it's part of my job. I can get so consumed with that construction project, so consumed with what's not going right or some of the delays, frustrated that we're not able to gather. And that's not any one person's fault. It's just in the, again, it's in the providence of God. And we can get so focused on the present that we lose sight of the bigger story. If we don't zoom out, we can begin to wonder, is there any purpose in this waiting? The building project, though, is pretty simple. Because every time we drive by it, every time we show up on a Sunday morning, we can see a little progress. Walls go up, drywall got hung, doors were added, parking lots getting poured. But I know for many of you, when we think about those bigger things, you don't see much. You're waiting, and it feels as if nothing is happening. You're waiting in silence. You're waiting with no diagnosis. You're waiting with no job offer. You're waiting, and you haven't heard from that child in so many months. Waiting for that relationship to be restored with no phone calls. Waiting for that prayer to be answered that you've prayed for years and years. And that's how it sometimes feels as we wait on the Lord. But the good news is that God is never silent because he is absent. He's never inactive because he doesn't care. He's never late, according to our timeline, because he's lost control. And do you know how we know that is true? Because of Jesus. Because he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all who would believe, how will he with us not give us graciously all these things? Because of Jesus. The cross proves God's goodness. The cross proves God's love for you. And so while we might not be able to see tangible evidence of God being at work, in the same way Joseph's brothers had no idea what God was doing. In fact, Joseph himself, for I'm sure many years, sitting in a prison cell, had no idea what he was doing. God is always at work. And the cross proves it. Proves that for us. This is the gift of our faith. Because everyone has the same questions that we have. Everyone has the same waiting that we have. Everyone has the same doubts and concerns. But as followers of Jesus, we know that God gave his own son out of his love for us. And we know that through him, he will graciously give us all things. What a gift that is. That's the confidence that we stand in. Not in what we can do, not in that we know exactly how, but we know the author and finisher of our faith. So let's hope in him today. Let's wait well, trusting in Jesus as we do. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this word, your word, that I know if for no one else was you used to minister to my soul. I just want to confess, apologize to my brothers and sisters that perhaps God needed to teach me a lesson and he just said, I'm just going to involve all of City Church in this lesson, Ryan. But thank you, Lord, that you're good. Jesus, I thank you that because of the cross, we can know that we have a Father in heaven who loves us. We can know that he has good plans for us. Yes, we can know that in Christ, as we celebrated last week, and we are glorified, past tense, as if it has already happened. That's our future. And so even as we wait, help us to wait with hope. And I pray specifically for my friends who are waiting in silence, waiting for that diagnosis, waiting for that health issue to resolve, waiting for that job, waiting for that child to come home, waiting for that relationship to be restored, waiting and wondering, God, what are you doing? By the power of your Spirit, would you use your word to Habakkuk, preserved for us over thousands of years so that we could read it today? Would you use this to encourage my friends? Would you use it to strengthen our faith? Help us to live not by what we can see by sight, but by faith. Help us to do that, Lord. Thank you that you are not delayed, even when we can't see. We bless you. We worship you. As we prepare to stand and sing in just a moment, we think about all the things we've seen you do, and may that strengthen us today and in the days ahead. We pray these things in Christ's beautiful name. Amen. Let's stand.
To the nations I Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host, and praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world. Oh,